From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. What do you have in common with a fish? Dr. Stephen Farber has a good idea. Turns out it goes clear down to the genes. He tells us about his research on heart disease using, of all things, the tiny zebrafish. He's also created a short beginner's genetics curriculum based on fish development called BioEyes. We meet BioEyes outreach educator Tyrone Jasper and Leah Charles-Pierre, a science teacher at Mount Washington School, whose students are experiencing BioEyes for the first time.
I can see their eyes. They're so big.
They're moving. Our babies are swimming.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. What do you have in common with fish? How much do you share? Our guest today has a good idea. Turns out it goes clear down to the genes. Dr. Stephen Farber's lab conducts research on heart disease using, of all things, the tiny zebrafish. Farber has also created a genetics curriculum based on fish development called BioEyes to help spark the love of science in children. Later in the show, we'll visit a class at the Mount Washington School to hear what they're learning.
I can see their eyes. They're so big.
They're moving. Our babies are swimming.
Farber, who's with us in the studio, is principal investigator at the Carnegie Institution for Science, as well as adjunct associate professor in the Johns Hopkins University Biology Department. He's here to talk about his latest research. Welcome to On the Record.
Thanks for having me.
What is your lab up to?
Well, right now I'm super excited about a new strategy to identify therapeutics to help folks with cardiovascular disease.
What does that mean?
Well, 25% of the world's population currently dies from cardiovascular disease, and a lot of folks think, you know, we kind of have statin drugs, you know, mm-hmm. that you see on all the commercials, and they have profoundly affected or extended the lifespan and reduced mortality. But they haven't cured the disease, and so there's a real need for other new therapeutics. And so what we do in the lab is we've kind of used zebrafish and their unique attributes to come up with a way to find new therapeutics. And the way we do it is, if you will, we sort of put a light bulb on the protein that makes bad cholesterol, LDL cholesterol. So many times you go to the doctors and they do your plasma lipids, and well, by putting a light bulb on the bad cholesterol, we can measure with the amount of light coming out of the fish exactly how much is in there. And the thing is, these little larvae are only about 5 or 6 millimeters. So we can put literally thousands in tiny little wells with robots and try different compounds and find out which one lowers cholesterol.
Okay, I think I was following you until you got to the robots. First of all, when you talk about putting a light bulb on the cell that...
Well, it's actually, we're putting the light-emitting protein. The best way to get a sense for this is when you see in the night sky in the summer, you see fireflies.
Mm-hmm.
They are producing a protein that produces light.
Mm-hmm.
So we used modern genetic engineering to edit the zebrafish genome and insert a gene that produces light, the kind of gene that a firefly has.
Mm-hmm.
And we put that gene into the gene that makes the bad cholesterol. So every cell in the body of the fish that makes this bad cholesterol, this lipoprotein, will now make lipoproteins that produce light.
And so you can get a visual
exactly.
picture. And can you actually learn more about how much bad cholesterol is being produced? Because you can see it? I get that it's way cool to see it, but does that actually tell you more than you could if you were trying to measure it some other way?
Well, yes, because these fish have only about, there's like a million-fold less material in a tiny, tiny larvae than there is what they take when the doctor takes your blood for the assay on people. And so by having such with light, we can measure it so precisely in such a small amount, we can do this high throughput methods where we can kind of do thousands of fish, because these fish are so small that it would be impossible if we didn't engineer these fish in this way.
And these fish show the same kind of range of individual differences as humans do, so that's why you got to look at a lot of them to actually have reliable data?
Well, yeah. And one of the amazing things about the modern genomic period is that we've sequenced with the humans and mice and rats and fish and frogs and insects and all these critters. And when we looked at this fish carefully, we realized 80% of the time it's the same. We can pretty much map the gene from fish to people. And then...
So let me stop you there and make you sort of prove that to me, because it's really hard for me to believe that you can learn more about my genetics from a zebrafish than from a mouse or some other mammal.
It's not exactly like learning more or less, but it's that if you break a gene in a mouse or a person, something happens. You get a phenotype, we call it. And if you break that gene in a fish, you get the same fish version of that phenotype. Similarly, you could take cells that are growing from human cells that have a broken gene and put the zebrafish one version into those broken cells, and it fixes the problem. So even though we're people and these are fish, the basics of how these lipids move around in their blood is the same, and it's the same cast of characters, the same proteins that do the work. There are slight differences, of course, between humans, mice, and fish, but you can't really, a fish... We get thousands of fish, 500 per mom per week. And a fish costs about $3 a year. A mouse costs about $1 a day for a cage. So there's opportunities to do research with fish that are just not possible in a mouse.
That's Dr. Stephen Farber, principal investigator at the Carnegie Institution for Science and adjunct associate professor in the Johns Hopkins University Biology Department, here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his latest research on heart disease using zebrafish. Farber's lab was recently awarded funding from the National Institutes of Health and the Pew Charitable Trust. What does a zebrafish look like?
Well, they're pretty common, one of the most common pet store fish. They're a little over an inch, and they have these stripes across their body. So they're used pretty frequently. And they were kind of selected because they're really easy to grow in the lab and because the moms produce so many embryos, and that these grow very fast. Like, they turn into animals with beating hearts within a little over 2 days. You can see all of the parts right through their body because they're optically clear. You can't see through a mouse, but with a fish, you can see through them for 2 weeks and even more. So that allows you to see every single cell inside the fish. And the other thing I'll add is we break genes in the fish that have been shown when they're broken in people, cause problems. And we see the same problem in lipid metabolism in the fish.
So doing research on zebrafish lets you sort of jumpstart your research.
Exactly.
You don't get to skip the mammal stage. You still have to do those tests.
In this large grant we're awarded, we will take the hits we get from fish and immediately try them into mice and then hopefully into people. So yeah, it doesn't skip a step, but it allows you to kind of achieve the first part much more quickly.
And cheaply.
And less expensive, yeah.
How did your research with zebrafish evolve into school curriculum?
Well, you see, as scientists, we're creating knowledge. This is stuff that isn't on the internet now, and it isn't published anywhere. And the problems are pretty hard. And I quickly realized I wanted the brightest, smartest, most diverse folks to come to my lab. The challenge is before they're in my lab, they're in the classrooms across the world. And I found that some teachers really want more science, really hands-on activities, but they're just woefully equipped to teach modern science. And so I realized that thinking about the pipeline kind of concept, we have
the pipeline of scientists,
how to get smart people
to be scientists.
And I wanted to convey what's exciting about getting up to work every day and coming into the lab. And school doesn't actually, that's not what I think of when I went to school. And it's very funny that kids in Australia or in Baltimore City, when you ask them about the experience with the FISH, the BioWise program, they'll say it didn't feel like school or that it felt like I was a parent. And I think that tells you that it's that freedom to just be curious is something sometimes in the school environment kids don't get.
So you have to connect the dots. You created
a curriculum. In 2002, it really stemmed from a take your child to work day. I was a new assistant professor at Thomas Jefferson University, and the school wanted to have an organized day. They didn't want kids running all around the modern city hospital in Philadelphia. So
your expression looks like you can't imagine why people would not want that, kids running all around the lab.
And they had just built me a very modest-sized zebrafish facility, 14 racks. And
14 racks means?
Means about a couple thousand tanks. Not even 1,000 tanks, actually. And they thought, well, we'll send the kids to Farber's lab. It's like going to the aquarium. So as we all know, when we do anything these days, you're asked to survey. So after the kids left, they were given a survey, and the most popular stop was, by far, was coming to my lab and seeing the fish and the heart beating inside the fish. Well, what immediately happened was I learned the rule of institutions. You do something well, you get asked to do it again and again and again and again. So many, many tours were coming to my lab. So it was my wife who said, you know, and the lab basically said, hey, Steve, you know, we're having trouble doing research with all these tours. So my wife said, you know, if this is so popular, maybe they should help you by getting a person to help run or do these tours. And I basically approached a dean. The joke when I tell the story is, you know, you can't get the graduate student out of the PI. I was walking in my building.
Principal investigator.
Yeah, I was walking in my building, and there was coconut shrimp and wine for the surgeons. And I just figured, you know, I'm a professor now. I'm going to walk over and just grab a glass of wine and some shrimp. I spin around, and the dean of medicine was right in my face. So I just said, oh, you're the dean. And he said, oh, you're Farber. I brought these kids over to your lab, and they loved it. I said, it's funny you mention that, but I could really use some help. And it was my first ask, if you will. I asked him for the salary to hire someone. And it was like the blood drained from his face. But then he paused, and he said, you know, I can get you some of the money, but not all of it, and go to other deans, but do not use my name, and tell them that, you know, they just need to chip in a little more. And I did that, and I raised the money to hire Jamie Shuda. And she was a teacher, and she took my crazy ideas and knew how classrooms run. Together, we co-created BioWise, the mix of the scientist and the teacher.
BioWise is the name of this. What does that mean, BioWise?
It was just something we came up with. It's just biology, looking at the fish. And the program that we created is for many grades, from little kids in kindergarten to middle school, to fifth grade, to middle school and high school. They're all different versions. And the kids actually set up, they mate the fish, they collect the embryos, they look at development, and they might learn genetics depending on what year it is, what grade level they are.
And they're doing this with the zebrafish in their schools.
Exactly.
They're no longer coming to your lab.
Absolutely. They don't come to the lab. It's all done. It's a teacher professional development program. At the beginning, I thought I was focused only on exposing kids to cool stuff. But I quickly learned that when you change a teacher, you change all of the kids that teacher teaches for their career. And so it's more about building confidence, providing them tools, training them, and collaborating with them to create the next generation. And so after 2 years, we just give them the supplies for the week, and they run it on their own. So that's the other thing. It's a co-teaching model. We kind of go into the class and handhold, if you will, work with the teacher in their classroom to deliver the unit in the first year. But after that, we sort of build up their confidence to do it without us.
Where is BioWise?
Primarily in some big hubs in Philadelphia, Baltimore, Salt Lake City, Monash University in Australia. And then a lot of little hubs in Boston, New York, and all over the country.
Is it spreading?
After we published a recent paper on it in PLOS Biology, we got 70 requests for replication, more than we can handle. So it's a question of unmet need, really. There's more teachers and more kids that want the program than we can kind of help expand to deliver.
And you've been doing BioWise for about 15 years.
Yep.
What are the numbers? How many kids? How many
teachers? Well, I think
teachers?
We're probably might be over 120,000 kids around the world for sure. We surpassed 100,000 in 2016. And in Baltimore City, we're trying to reach every Baltimore City middle schooler, but we reach a little over 3,000. So in the pipeline model, Baltimore has gems. It has Baltimore Polytech, and even within Baltimore Polytech is the Ingenuity Project for really gifted, the premier gifted kids in the city, and I'm on the board of that program. So when we see a diamond in the rough, and we see a kid that really has abilities, we can say, hey, we can give materials for their parents to say, you know, you should apply to Poly. And if they really have talents, they can actually apply to the Ingenuity Project. And what's incredibly gratifying is these kids are recruited, the Ingenuity graduates are recruited into the top schools in the country. And, you know, these kids give presentations in it before they go off to school. And I was sitting in the audience one year, and a very amazing student gave a talk on early childhood SIDS, on death of children and babies. And someone in the audience asked, where did you get your start? She said, well, in fifth grade, this program BioWise came to my class. And I'm sitting there like, wow, you know. Of course, fortunately, some of my funders were in the audience too, who helped support it. So I was kind of giving them the look. But, you know, and kind of feeling like, wow, this is really something that's been around enough. And it's inspiring these kids. And we're working with Baltimore City Schools to actually measure the degree to whether that we can show that effect. But it's particularly gratifying.
Was there something for you, like BioWise, something that drew you to science?
Well, really, it was my fourth grade teacher. I mean, she was very non-conventional, and she realized I was good in science. I was very interested in electronics, and she actually had me teach electronics to my fourth grade class, which, if you think about it, is crazy. And she got me these kits to work on. So I think she saw something in me that I think shaped who I am. And also there were other teachers who in graduate school too, who really went to bat, because I wasn't a typical student. And the way I repay them is to, when kids don't quite fit the mold, to remember that I was one of those kids. And the way I can repay the folks that went out to bat for me is to make sure that I'm trying to help out these other kids.
Thank you so much for walking us through this.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Stephen Farber is principal investigator at the Carnegie Institution for Science and adjunct associate professor in the Johns Hopkins University Biology Department. He's been telling us about his latest research using zebrafish and about BioEyes, a hands-on short genetics curriculum for elementary, middle, and high school students. We have a link to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. After the break, On the Record producer Melissa Geer meets some enthusiastic scientists in the making during BioEyes classes at Mount Washington School. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about zebrafish and how Dr. Stephen Farber at the Carnegie Institution for Science uses them for research on heart disease. His experience with zebrafish turned into a hands-on genetics course for young students called BioEyes. On the Record producer Melissa Geer talked with teachers and students at the Mount Washington School to find out what they're learning in BioEyes. She visited on the final day of the week-long course.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. T.
Cool, so I'm happy to see you guys. I haven't seen you guys in the past 2 days. And the last time I saw you guys in the class, we saw our embryos. And somebody raise your hand and tell me, what did the embryos look like the last time I saw you in class?
My name is Tyrone Jasper, and I'm one of the outreach educators with Project BioEyes. And my position is essentially administering the program alongside a teacher inside of the schools.
Working with zebrafish was new for me as well, doing a real live genetics experiment. My name is Leia Charles-Pierre. I am the middle school science teacher here at the Mount Washington School. I teach all of our middle grades, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade science.
Oh my God. I can see their eyes. They're so big.
They're moving. Our babies are swimming.
When we're co-teaching alongside a teacher, that it builds more rapport with the students because they're not just addressing their questions to us. They work alongside their teacher also. So sometimes the teacher will take the lead or will lead the program like on Wednesdays and Thursdays when we're not here.
And what about what you're providing for the teacher?
Pretty much the program itself. BioEyes is free to teachers. They basically have to come out and get trained at Carnegie. And when we come out, we provide our fish, our equipment, everything, journals at no cost to the teachers.
Having him in the class and being able to just kind of watch and learn with the kids, by the third day, once the students were with me, I felt very confident in what I was supposed to see. And with his expertise, it allowed me to feel like an expert too.
Wait, something just popped out.
Some of them are actually hatching.
Where? My name is Naima Dawson, and I'm in the 7th grade.
And tell me what happened here in your classroom this week.
When we first started out, we had two fish. We had a regular zebrafish, and we had an albino zebrafish. And so our fish failed, so we had to adopt babies. And so they started growing, and they go through a whole bunch of different stages before they're a full fish.
Were you able to see the different stages, too?
Yes, we were. When we were looking, sometimes we could see it on just like on this paper right here. And sometimes we'll be able to see it under the microscope.
And so they've been growing all week, and now what's happening today?
Today some of them are starting to pop out and swim, and then we have a couple larvae that are already swimming, but some of them are still inside the egg.
Does this make you want to study more science, or does it kind of freak you out, or how did you feel about it?
I really enjoyed it, so I actually like to do a lot more research about them. As I do go to National Aquarium a lot to look at fish and things like that.
My name is Jackson, and I am in 7th grade.
And what's the most interesting thing you think you learned this week?
Probably that zebrafish grow in a week.
Oh, that was a surprise to you.
Yeah.
And were you, what kinds of things did you see?
I saw them growing, which was a little bit weird because I've really never seen anything grow like that before except for, like, chameleons. But but I think it's pretty cool to see some kind of fish grow.
You see the yolk on the belly?
Oh, my God, yes. And I can see the blood.
Now, look, below the eye next to the yolk. Can you see the heart beating?
Yeah.
Yes, I see it. Like, right.
It's so cool.
Right. And then now the last one I want you to look for those.
How has the week affected your students working with zebrafish and learning about genetics?
I've seen a lot of aha moments teaching genetics to 7th graders. Bringing a program like this into the classroom where they can see it and actually investigate and they can like almost touch it, it makes it even better. It puts it all together. It makes that puzzle complete in your mind. In addition to just helping them understand that scientific method and why we always ask a question and we test it and we observe it and we follow it, we research, and then we come up with this conclusion, how we came about that conclusion. So if students don't know that, I think this program really lent itself to doing that as well.
Is there something that you get out of working in this program?
It's actually pretty personal what I get out of it because I'm from Philadelphia, and of course I have a scientific background. I've been studying aquaculture and aquatic sciences for quite some time, and I was always pretty unique. I didn't have like a teacher that guided me a certain way. I always had a different mindset. But when I come into these classrooms and I talk to these students that come from where I come from, they're inner city, Baltimore inner city kids, and they don't have the resources to be really exposed to science. And then they see someone like myself and they can relate to me. And I see that all the time. There are many instances where the student will say, I didn't like science before you came here, Mr. TJ, but you're cool and I want to do science. Like, it doesn't sound as cheesy as that. But yes, that is always pretty cool to me to see students relate to me and that they can connect with me and think that, okay, I can go the scientific route rather than being a basketball player or a rapper.
So guys, before you go, once again, I just thank you for being great throughout the week. And I will see y'all when y'all become scientists in the future.
That was BioEye's outreach educator Tyrone Jasper and science teacher Leah Charles-Pierre at the Mount Washington School in Baltimore. We also heard from several middle school students. We have more information about the BioEye program at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.